He turned, and I leapt violently as the door opened and a little anxious-looking chap came in.
"Ah, Ostred,"
said Deschard, and the little chap blinked, looked at me, at Deschard, and back at me again.
"I thought," he stammered, "that is, your pardon, Highness, I supposed you had retired, that you would be in bed."
He looked helplessly to Deschard, and I thought, by heaven, he thinks I'm a real man. He couldn't make out what had gone wrong. So here was a first-rate chance to put the thing to the test. If I could fool my own doctor, I could fool anyone.
"I have a headache," says I, quite gently. "That doesn't mean that I have to take to my bed."
"No, no, of course not, Highness."
He licked his lips.
"Perhaps you might take his Highness's pulse, doctor," said Deschard.
And the little fella came over and took my wrist as though it was made of porcelain. There were beads of sweat on his brow.
"A little swift,"
he muttered, and glanced at my face. He was scared and puzzled, and then he literally leaped back as though he'd seen a ghost.
He
exclaimed, pointing.
"No, Ostred," said Deschard. "He is not a prince."
"But..."
The little doctor gargled speechlessly, and I couldn't help laughing.
"But he is identical, dear Jesus. I could not believe it. I was sure when I saw him that something had gone amiss, that it was still the prince. My God!"
"What gave him away?"
asked Deschard.
"The scars. They are new and pink."
Deschard snapped his teeth in annoyance.
"The scars, of course, I had forgotten. That might have cost us dear. However, we have the means to put it right."
And he took out a flask, which I suppose Rudy had given him, and daubed at my wounds until he and the doctor were satisfied.
"There," says Deschard. "When did you last shave your head?"
"Last night."
"If it'll do for the moment, Ostred will attend to it again tomorrow."
He pulled out his watch.
"Now, it may be best if you and I, doctor, return to our hosts."
For my benefit, he rattled off a few more details about Tarlenheim and the arrangements for the morning.
"Your valet will look in shortly to see you to bed,"
he concluded.
"You may sleep easily, believe me. Now that I have seen you, my doubts are addressed. I seriously question if your own father would detect the imposture." "Huh! You see, I said your own father."
He smiled grimly.
"I half believe in you myself. And so, your Highness, I have the honor to bid you good night."
They withdrew, bowing, and left me trembling. But for once it wasn't funk. I was elated. I had fooled Ostred. By God, it was going to work. I took a turn round the room, grinning to myself, drank another glass of brandy and another, and stood beaming at myself in the mirror. "Well, Prince Harry," thinks I, "if only Elspeth could see you now. And old Moneybags Morrison, and Lord God Almighty Cardigan. He'd be glad enough to have royalty back in his flea-bitten 11th Hussars. For I was royal, for the moment, a full-blown prince of the blood, no less, until Bismarck's little game was played out. And then, oh, the blazes with him. I had another glass of brandy and took stock of my royal surroundings. Sumptuous wasn't the word for them. Silk sheets, lace pillow, solid silver cup and plate by the bed, with breast of chicken under a napkin, begod, in case I felt peckish.